Our Bibles this morning to Psalm 46. We read the entire psalm. The text is the verses 1 through 3. Psalm 46. This is God's holy and inspired word. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear in sunder, he burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The text once again, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 46 is a well-known and well-beloved portion of God's word. As children of the 16th century Protestant Reformation, I am sure we are all familiar with the fact that this psalm was an overwhelming favorite of that reformer, Martin Luther. And that is because Luther identified well with two important aspects of this psalm. Number one, the great earth shaking troubles described in the psalm, having himself gone through and experienced great, great troubles for being bold to expose the many and great corruptions of the church in his day, and therefore having to flee constantly from danger and to seek refuge for his very life. But even more importantly, number two, Luther would identify well with the psalmist's wonderful cure for all the distresses and fears wrought in his heart arising from all his great and many troubles. And what is that cure? What is the wonderful cure and remedy prescribed by the inspired psalmist? It is this. It is to fix our eyes and gaze upon God. God! That great God! The God of heaven and earth, our God, for Christ's sake, the God who is the refuge and strength of all his people throughout all ages. That's what we will do this morning, and do so with the aid of our text, something which is both needful and fitting for us to do so this morning, as yet another year of our earthly pilgrimage soon draws to a close, and a brand new one is waiting and appears right on our windscreen of our horizons. Notice with me then, God, our refuge and strength. Well, notice in the first place our need for refuge, in the second place, the God who is our refuge, and thirdly, a refuge that removes all fear. Every one of us, young or old, children, are you listening? The word is to you too. Every one of us, young or old, living in this world, has a need for refuge. And what is our need for refuge? The psalmist tells us with just one word. Did you see it, children, as I read from Psalm 46? Just one word from the end of verse 1. What is that word? Trouble. Trouble. And so we ask, what exactly was the trouble that the psalmist himself faced and experienced in his time? Well, we can't be entirely sure. And we can't be entirely sure because we do not know the exact occasion, exact background, and exact setting of the psalm. Nonetheless, one very able Bible commentator thinks that it might have been during the time of King Hezekiah, who was the king, of course, of Judah and Jerusalem, when mighty Sennacherib and his mighty army of 185,000 men, mighty Sennacherib coming to lay siege on and to attack Jerusalem, and by this time he had conquered city after city, nation after nation, and it was already established as ruler of a great world empire. How was this tiny city of Jerusalem going to withstand the onslaught of this mighty king and his mighty army of 185,000 men, well armed, with all kinds of weapons, each soldier having their own weapons, with bows, arrows, spears, swords, with horses, chariots, with catapults, and siege towers coming upon the city? What trouble that Hezekiah and God's people then were experiencing. Now, while we are not sure if that was the exact trouble of the psalmist, the Holy Spirit does provide a description of this trouble in the text marked by the word though. And there are four instances in our text where that word though appears. Verses 2 and 3, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Now, all these things to be taken literally or symbolically as part of holy inspired poetry, if we take the symbolic approach, literal or symbolic, it really doesn't matter. Regardless of whether we take it to be literal or symbolic, that's not the point. It's not the point of the Holy Spirit. The point and the idea is this, that the psalmist is encompassed around with great, great, great troubles on all sides. Be it the earth, the sea, whatever you will, he's surrounded by great, great, great troubles. And so that leads to that dreadful feeling in his heart, mind, and soul of distress and fear. A feeling very much that Hezekiah and God's people in Hezekiah's time felt. The dreadful feeling is fear. Well, that dreadful feeling, beloved, is something which we all know and also are well familiar with, aren't we? Because it's a feeling that arises when troubles come into our lives. It's a feeling that creeps into our souls and finds a home in our hearts when we have troubles, and troubles all around us, it seems, from our point of view. And that would be true whether or not you were to look back at the year or years that have gone by on our earthly pilgrimage, or if you were to look ahead into the future with all its uncertainties that we face. Looking back on the year or the years that have gone by and thinking of the troubles that we have faced, troubles in our personal lives, troubles within our family, our extended family, our church family, the challenges and the concerns we face from the viewpoint of health, be it mental, more and more it's becoming a problem and a struggle with the younger generation, mental health, emotional health, physical health, as we grow older especially, but our young people are not immune to that too, and also spiritual health. The painful loss of loved ones in our lives. The hurts, the sadness, and troubles from all these and so much more. And now taking a step back and looking at ourselves as a citizen of the church, the nation, and the very world we live in, the many issues and the many concerns and the many troubles ecclesiastically, nationally, and in the world we live in. A world that is increasingly and rapidly developing in evil and sin. We have concerns, don't we, from all these things. We have deep, grave concerns for our children, our grandchildren, the churches which we care about. And when we recall all these troubles for just one moment, that feeling of distress and fear starts to creep in and starts to increase in our hearts and minds, does it not? That's looking back. It's the same now with looking forward, and so we must look back and look forward, being creatures trapped in time. We look forward. It's the same thing when we look forward too, because some of those troubles of the past and the very present are going to follow us like a shadow into the year and years ahead. They are. And add to that now all the uncertainties of the future that are also yours and mine. Well, like the psalmist, we perceive that we are completely surrounded, aren't we, by troubles from all sides. And so that dreadful feeling of distress and fear becomes real and even lives in us. We feel trapped. We feel helpless. We feel fearful. So what shall we do? We need help. Where do we turn to? And who do we turn to for help? That's a crucial question. And the answer we give is vital and crucial. The answer, of course, is not ourselves. We know that here, but the point of preaching this sermon is that we know it also here, deeply. Not ourselves, Hezekiah would have told us that. It's not going to work against mighty Sennacherib, not ourselves. Not the beer bottle, the wine bottle, nor any substance for that matter which we might turn to for relief from our troubles and fears. Not at all. These things are only an escape. And at that, only a temporary escape. A temporary mental, that's it, escape from the reality of troubles. Nor is it in finding esteem and popularity with peers and friends, not in human wisdom, and not in earthly strength and might. So what's the answer? Take up your Bibles and turn them with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And I call your attention to verses 7 and 8. And what the Holy Spirit led Hezekiah to say to the people whom he ruled in his time of trouble and distress. What does he say in verses 7 and 8? Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, 185,000 soldiers. Reason? For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Isn't that beautiful? The point here is to behold the Lord our God. Look up, he tells the people. Look up. Don't look that way. Don't look horizontally. Look up and fix your eyes upon God. Gaze at him. Behold your God. That's the point. And amazing things happen in the way of beholding our God. What happens when we behold our God? We will do the same numerical math and accounting, wonderful math, wonderful spiritual accounting that Hezekiah did in these verses. There be more with us than with them. If we do straight math, of course, with our earthly eyes, That won't do. Children, don't try that with your math teacher in school. But when we behold our God, we start to see what Hezekiah sees. All of that before us is an arm of flesh. That's it. Just flesh, an arm, that's it. But He is God. He is great. Great, great God. He is. And what did that do for the people? It brought the people rest. It calmed their nerves. It brought them peace, calm, and rest. That's the answer, and that is also the answer that we find from the inspired psalmist in our text. God is our refuge. God, our great God, our God, for Christ's sake. What can we say then about this God who is our refuge? Well, to begin with, what is a refuge? Children, do you know what a refuge is? It's simple. A refuge is simply a place which we run to, flee to, for safety, for shelter, for hiding, for protection, when troubles and dangers come our way. And so, for example, when we run into a cave in the midst of a great thunderstorm, when we're out in the woods, well, that cave is our refuge. In that cave, we find shelter from the driving rain. In that cave, we find safety and protection from all the thunder and lightning and all the havoc that could cause unto us while we're out in the woods. That cave is become to us a hiding place, a place of protection. It is our refuge. Well, when God in His Word calls us to take Him to be our refuge, when He declares that He is our refuge, well, that has the same idea of that cave, children. Same idea. He is one, the one who we turn to, run to, and flee to when troubles and fears come our way at all directions. All troubles of life come our way and plague us. When we find ourselves surrounded by all kinds of threats and troubles, when we feel overwhelmed within our souls, God tells us to turn to Him, to run to Him for shelter, safety, and protection, and for the much-needed peace and rest and calm which we need within our souls. That's what God calls us to do. And our God is a wonderful, wonderful, all-comprehensive refuge for our souls. Listen to His Word from just a sampling of it with regard to the many promises He gives to us from His Word. What does He say to us when we are in the midst of great turmoil and trouble, and that turmoil and trouble speaks so much louder to us from our point of view? It's so great unto us, and we fear. What shall we do? Psalm 46. Be still. Don't fret. Don't be intimidated. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Be still and know that I am God. and I will be exalted. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in all the earth. I will be exalted through all those troubles that come your way. Be still and know that I am God. Isn't that wonderful? Are you troubled by the way that seems so awfully dark, pitch dark to you at times, the way in which he is leading you through a circumstance in your life? Listen to him in Isaiah 55. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's the great perspective we have when we look up to him through his word and by his spirit. His ways are far higher than ours, beyond all of our comprehension. Are you troubled this morning and encumbered by your burdens? Burden after burden after burden saddling upon your shoulders, plaguing you from within you. Listen to him from Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. That is, each burden you have, take and throw at him. Don't just give it to him, throw it. Cast your burden upon the Lord. He'll catch it. And he will give you relief. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, for and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Are you troubled by a feeling of dread, judgment, and condemnation for a sin gnawing at you, which you had repented of a long time ago and have laid it at the foot of the cross of Jesus? Are you troubled by a guilty conscience still for no good reason? Listen to him speak in Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. You're not walking after the flesh, are you? But after the Spirit. That's part of the joy of obedience, that you know that you are received by the Lord in spite of all those sins. Beloved, whatever your troubles, whatever your fears, take this with you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And finally, know this reassuring word of Jehovah in relation to him as our refuge from the psalmist in Psalm 91. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. In a word, have confidence. Absolute confidence in him as your refuge. And why? Why should we? Why should you and I have absolute confidence in Him as our refuge? Three reasons this morning. Number one, because He is the Lord of hosts. That's His identity revealed, especially in this psalm. He's the Lord of hosts. What does that mean, children? It means this: He's the Lord of all the hosts of creation, all around us, visible and invisible. He's the Lord of hosts of great, great creatures, lions, tigers, sharks, eagles. He's the Lord of hosts in relation to the small little creatures as well, the squirrels, the rabbits, the ants, the insects. Great and small. He's the Lord of hosts of all the angels too. The fallen angels can't do a thing to us apart from His will. He's the Lord of hosts of also the most seemingly insignificant things to us, even the hairs on our heads. Our hairs graying, falling so that we are balding. Also of the cancer cells that may be in your body or mine. Also our gut microbiome. Every single piece of molecular biological structure within us. He is the Lord of hosts. Point here, He's the absolute sovereign of all. He's sovereign over all, in control of all. That's the first reason. Second reason, because He is also the God of Jacob. That comes up directly from Psalm 46, 2. And that means, that just simply means, that He is our great, faithful, covenant God. He's the God of Jacob. He's the God of Abraham, the God of Seth, God of Adam and Eve. It's that whole line of saints, right? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David. Point here, He's the faithful covenant God of His people. He's on our side. He's with us, never apart from us, though sometimes we feel that way. He's with us always. And He's also for us, not against us, though we also feel that way sometimes when we stand affixed and glued in our vision to all our earthly circumstances and don't look up. He's not against us. He's for us. He's on our side. He's with us. Just as He was faithful in helping Jacob, just as He was faithful in helping Abraham and all his dear covenant friends along in their pilgrimage, so also He is and will continue to be faithful to us, His friends, along our earthly pilgrimage. Third, and most of all, even if implicitly, we may have absolute confidence in Him because of His great, amazing, astounding love for us. He loves us with a great, great love. He is our refuge because He has provided refuge and protection for us when it matters most. He has provided refuge and protection from His righteous wrath against us, His just punishment against us, against our sins, all our sins and our sinful natures, in the form of His beloved, only begotten Son, our Savior. Without Jesus, God would not be a refuge for us. He would be our greatest nightmare, horror, and terror. It is fearful, so fearful, to fall into the living hands of God without Jesus. Beloved of God, we have Jesus. We have Jesus by His grace. And we who have Jesus also have this great, important calling to tell others about Jesus, to tell those who are still without Jesus about Him and His wonderful salvation and the wonderful difference He makes in your lives and mine. Because Jesus soaked up all the wrath and punishment which we deserve and deserve for our sins, we must flee to Him for refuge in all our distresses and fears. We must find in Him dependable and everlasting protection, safety, and shelter from all the storms and troubles of life. People of God, on this occasion of the passing of an old year, soon passing of an old year, and the soon ushering in of a new one, I ask you as I ask myself, do you see this great God as refuge? Do you see this great God as the psalmist's refuge in Psalm 46? Do you see this great God as your refuge and your refuge at this very present time, that He is your very present help in the year 2023, and on the day of December 31, is He your help and your refuge? Now, in this connection, the psalmist would have us behold His almighty and wonderful works. Notice verses 8 and 9 with me. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. He does all these things. It's His works. The psalmist would have us behold His works which we see with our eyes. It's His work. And then also, he assures us of the infinite zeal and timeliness when it comes to the Lord helping us in all of our needs. Verse 5, He will be our help, and that right early. Early, not late. Never too late. In His perfect time, in His wisdom, and in His wonderful love for us, early, and at that right early. O beloved of God, He has been your help. As you Consider your life and your pilgrimage thus far before his face in this sanctuary. He has been your help, has he not? He has been your help in the past. I trust so. And beloved, it's not just that impeccable track record of the past. Even more, it's also who he is. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the God of Jacob. He's almighty, he's faithful. And he will keep all his word and promises. Has any of his promises let you down? He will, for his mouth has spoken it, and he loves you. And therefore, he is also the refuge that removes all fear. That's exactly what the psalmist experiences and expresses to us under inspiration in verse 2. Therefore will not we fear. Now you notice that's how he begins the sentence, with all those though statements, those four though statements in verses 2 and 3. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And you realize he could go on. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how loud these troubles are to me from my earthly senses and perspective. Doesn't matter. He is our refuge, therefore will not we fear. Beloved congregation, you are certainly by now identified with the psalmist, don't you, in his thought and confession? Indeed. With God as our refuge, we can certainly add on to the list of things that the inspired psalmist has started out with. All objects, all persons, all events that would naturally strike fear in our hearts. Whatever it is, those things can't speak louder to us, threaten us, and do harm to us with him as our refuge. And such, beloved, a blessed thought is also well expressed in the New Testament by the inspired Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8. This way, with God as our refuge in and through Christ Jesus, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing, not death, death of our loved ones, death of ourselves, not life, our lives, our foolish actions, not even those which we certainly repent of, not death, not life, not angels, we can't see them, but they're all around us, not principalities, not powers, not things past, not things present, nor things in the future, absolutely nothing shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And still more, note that this God who is our refuge is also our strength. That's exactly how the psalmist knows and confesses him in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. Point here being this. You can't separate the two. Divine refuge goes hand in hand with divine strength. The divine place of safety and shelter is also the source of strength for the psalmist. He's strengthened by it and by the knowledge of it. It's the source of strength for the psalmist. And that, of course, is an infinite, limitless source of strength, is it not, beloved? Because it's God, that infinite, limitless, all-powerful God of ours, who is also our strength. And that's who He is to every one of His dear children. He who has graciously revealed Himself to the psalmist to be His refuge and strength is also your refuge and strength and mine. Is that not so? Well, the way we enjoy this comforting truth is through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ and His cross. The cross in which His shed blood atones for all our sins and makes us accepted of the righteous God forever and ever, who punishes not us. Our troubles are not a punishment. Who punishes not us, but Jesus. And so, in Christ and His cross, will we and must we trust and delight in Him and His word? In Him and His cross, will we be strengthened in our inner man by grace? In Christ and His cross, will we be comforted, encouraged, and lifted up in our spirits through His promises? In Christ and His cross, will we cling to His promises with assurance and hope? Beloved congregation, that's His word. Do you hear Him say that to you? You who hear the voice of God your Savior, you should know that that is the same voice that melted the earth. Know that that same voice which melted the earth is also the voice that drives away all our distresses and fears, and renews us in blessed assurance and hope. God is our refuge and strength. Amen. Bless this word, O Lord. Use it to strengthen us as we go forth into the midst of this world, living for Thee and unto Thy name's honor and glory. More and more cause us to be a people of Thy word, and may that word show forth in our hearts, our lives, yea, also in our witness as a body of the Lord Jesus Christ and as individual believers to those around us who are especially still in dark. May our witness of Thy blessed word and of Thy Son, our Savior, be blessed by Thee. Hear us for His sake. Amen.